Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Strength and Skills Podcast, the best podcast in the world. And here's your host, Nick, and your host, Dennis.
Hello.
And we have a guest. Today it's Alessio the Wild.
Yeah. Everyone.
We have a topic today, and the topic is weight calisthenics and skills. Putting it all together into one schedule, in one program. And here are the do's and don'ts of how you do it. We asked the crowd, what would you like to hear about it? And we got loads of questions about
it. Tons of questions, yeah.
So
there's a lot of confusion about the topic.
Yes. First of all, first question is it possible to do both? The short answer is yes, it is possible. The long answer is, yeah, let's get it on.
What is the long answer?
So, like Nick said, I think it is possible, and most of the time it is a very good thing to put them together. Most of the plans I write, actually, or I have done in the last 7 years, were all mixed between skills and weighted, sometimes more on the side of the skills, now I'm more on the weighted side, for example. And so I think the first question you have to ask yourself when thinking about a plan where you want to put weighted and skills together is sustainability. So you want a plan that you can follow and where you can perform at every session. And that's the most important thing. If you completely go all out with weighted, you won't be able to do well on skills. If you completely go out on skills, you won't be able to do well on your weighted side. So that's the first and most important thing. Second of all, priorities. So set your priorities. What is more important for you? Is getting that 1RM pull-up or getting the planche, for example. So think about what is most important and plan the workout as follows. And third of all, the thing where it starts to get complicated is frequency. So how often do you train what? And we will talk extensively about that today, I think.
Definitely.
And how do you split it? Because there's many ways to split it. There's ways that are smart and ways that are less smart. And yeah, I think we're a good group here to talk about it. So Nick is mostly in the weighted scene. He did a lot of weighted. Alessio did a lot of skills for a long, long time.
And still
tries to, but
while having a couple of competitions here and there,
but now he's into weighted.
Yeah.
That's the thing where he does the competitions now,
yeah.
And so this is pretty interesting, as Dennis is very much into skills and
mm-hmm.
into coaching that, and I'm very much into weighted and coaching that, and then there is Alessio, who's the athlete who's doing it. What we are planning, so
I'm the guinea pig.
Yes.
But happy guinea pig.
So here is the all around view of what we are going to talk about now. All right. As you already said, it's a lot about how you schedule it all up, how you manage fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the most important thing
exactly.
in there. As
absolutely.
when you go all out in it doesn't matter what, you, something else will suffer, definitely.
For sure.
Yeah.
So while programming stuff like that, you should keep your ego very, very quiet and very low. That's the most important thing here. And what Dennis already said with the prioritizing with that stuff
mm-hmm.
is also very important. So it is okay to have like maybe 4 goals in one block of training,
mm-hmm.
but to train for like 6 goals, like I want to do weighted pull-ups, I want to do weighted dips, I do want to do my squats, and I want my planche, and I want my front lever, and I still want my handstand push-ups, and I want my Victorian, and I want to do my Hefesto, but still doing my one-arm pull-up. Yeah, you can do that, but it won't work for very long, and you probably get injured.
Yeah. Soon you can say bye-bye to your to your bicep tendon, to your
elbows, your wrist,
elbows and wrist, yeah.
So when you schedule stuff like that up, yeah, when you do the real programming for stuff like that, you have to keep in mind that there are tendons and ligaments that are used in that time in a very, very intensive way.
Especially when doing skills. So skills are very, very ligament heavy. Skills like planche especially. And they take a longer time to recover. Weighted skills usually are less stressful on the tendon level.
I wouldn't say so.
I mean, it depends, I think. When you are in like very, very high weight, low rep ranges, for sure, and that's the thing. But if you work like in a volume block and you work with light weights and lighter weights, I think it's less stressful on the tendons, at least for a while. Of course, in your third or fourth week of a program, it can start to get very, very hard, and it could be the time for a deload. I think the skills, usually you hold a skill not for too long, and it's very, very stressful, especially like on the elbow, or when it's especially the planche, and I think the one-arm pull-up, the two movements that are super, super, super stressful and cause most injuries. And the Hefesto, but I mean, yeah, or Iron Cross, but those are pretty special, let's say. And those you really have to be thoughtful of. I mean, we can put some exercises. So I think there are a few exercises that go very well together, and I think that's a thing many people forget. So we can start with the easiest example, which is the one-arm pull-up,
mm-hmm.
and talk a bit about that. So principally, when I schedule one-arm pull-up for clients, I use weighted pull-ups for 90% of the work they do. So weighted pull-ups are the key to a one-arm pull-up. If someone's able to pull up at least 80% to 90% of their body weight, you can do some technique work and try to get more specific with the one-arm pull-up. But before that, it makes no sense to do like very, very specific one-arm pull-up work. Like you can do archers with rings, for example. It's an exercise I very much like, but I only use it with not a lot of sets and principally not high rep ranges, just to learn the technique and the right activations,
mm-hmm.
while the whole strength work is done with weighted pull-ups because they're way easier to progress. So progressing on a one-arm pull-up is so difficult if you only use the movement, that there's so many compensations possible. Like the one-arm pull-up is one of the movements where most people do compensate with everything. You compensate with your leg, you compensate by turning in, you compensate with a little kip, with the hand, with the shoulder, and in the closing of the movement. You can't do that with a strict pull-up, or like it's easier to see and easier to recognize where the weak points are. You can work specifically on them while working on the one-arm pull-up, like archers with mm-hmm. good activation, or closing the movement, or isometric holds in certain angles. But the main work is done in weighted pull-ups. So you're progressing in what weighted pull-ups, you're getting stronger, your one RM is getting higher, and you're doing the specific work, which helps you to, as soon as you try your first one-arm pull-up, it will look good. You will have the right activations. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And that's the thing With weighted and skills, I think generally, you can get a lot stronger once you have the one-arm pull-up just by doing pull-ups. Like, you can upper the reps, but if you want to do it in a certain way and without any compensation at all, specific work is always required.
Yeah.
And so I think that that sums up, like, it's a good example. Some other examples aren't as easy, but we'll talk about them later, maybe planche or so. That's very, very special.
So to sum it up, in the end, it's a good way to start with pull-ups or chin-ups weighted, to build up a base where you come from. And once you have a decent base, you can also implement some stuff that goes to get the technique right. And then once you have the enough strength and the technique gets better, you get more into all this stuff to get better at the one-arm pulling.
Exactly.
So I would say that's the proper way to do so. And that's also the way how you should you can work with a lot of stuff like that. It goes the same with like handstand push-ups. So you can use like weighted dips to get stronger for handstand push-ups.
I would say military press even better.
I would come to that to build that even
the beginning.
And then comes you can also bring in the pike push-ups, advanced pike push-ups, handstand push-ups on the wall, and also of course the overhead press. So you can mix all that up to build the strength for a skill. But what you always have to keep in mind, once you build up the strength, then you have to learn the skill. And in the end, it's a skill. And that's a very important point. This is not us saying, do the weighted stuff and you get the skills as a present. That's not the case.
I don't think that actually happens very often. I mean, it does happen.
It happens, but
I think it would be...
It's rare,
It's very rare.
Yeah.
So how was it for you when you started? So that's something most people are very, very scared of.
Yeah.
When once they have their skills, they don't want to lose it when they start also weighted training, because there's a lot of people doing it the other way around, like as you did, coming from the skills side and going into weighted. How was it for you? Did you lose strength on skills?
So, I mean, I came from a background where I was doing mostly skills. Of course, like, you know, if you ask me, weighted is a natural part of calisthenics. Because at some point when you start doing pull-ups, you start getting good at them and you start wrapping out 20 of them, you try to seek a new challenge. So for me, you know, being in a gym with some discs or laying around, putting on some weight is the first thing to do. So for me, when I started and I started getting a bit more into weighted, when I got serious about weighted, when I consciously decided to do some competitions, especially in street lifting, that's when I came to you, Nick. One of the things I first told you is, yeah, I want to be able to do a 70 kilo pull up and 120 kilo dip, but I do not want to lose, and 160 kilo squat, but I do not want to lose the planche.
because it's
sweat and tears and days of agony to get it, and it's something that you really don't want to lose. And my short answer is that you don't have to. So for me, it was really cool to actually start. What I really liked is that we adopted a plan that allowed me actually to keep the planche by treating it as something which you don't train every day. The way I see skills, especially when it comes to planche or front lever, is I treat them as one rep maxes. Especially when it comes, I mean, I'm not talking about people like Matteo Piraino, who reps out to 7 or 8 one-arm pull-ups just for training.
He's an interesting example about like one-arm pull-up work.
He's an interesting example about everything.
Because the coach really experimented a lot. And for example, I think for the specific T thing, like, I know he stopped training one-arm pull-up for almost a year, specifically. And only did like specially weighted pull-ups. Maybe I'm wrong, but if I can remember correctly, so correct me if I'm wrong, Matteo. principally, after the year, he started trying the one-arm pull-up rep max again. Yeah. And I think before it was like somewhere between 9 and 10 or even higher. And then he had like 6 or 7 reps.
Yes.
Depending after the year.
It was not long time ago.
Yeah, actually. Yeah, that he posted it. And I thought it was really fascinating and nice to see something like yes. that. Like, and then he started training specifically for it again. And then, but like not a lot, just... Not a lot. That's absolutely. The thing. People think they need to start wrapping out one-arm pull-ups. When I trained a lot of one-arm pull-ups, I had one weighted session and one-arm pull-up session.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And then a little technical work on another day for one-arm pull-ups. But it was like 3 sets to maximum 5 sets of one-arm yeah. pull-up work actually a week. And I managed to upper my max on my one-arm pull-up from 6 kilos to 10 kilos in 3 yeah. months, only by mostly working on weighted stuff. And there was the same thing, not doing a lot of work, but his max of one-arm pull-ups in the tests at the end of the month went from 6 in to back to 10 or even higher in just a few
yeah, there was a sort months. Of like a rebound effect.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I completely agree. Yeah. And for me, as I said, talking about normal people here, so when I started and I said, I want to keep my front lever, I want to keep my planche, you know, I incorporated it in the plan as something that we trained as a complementary part. Mm-hmm. So in the same way that we implemented, you know, with the pull-ups, with the dips. So we blend in the specific work of the skill in the normal planning, and we did, but I rarely maxed out and went on, you know, tried to hold a 5 seconds full mm-hmm, planche. Mm-hmm. As I said before, that's for me, I see it as a one rep max training, which you yep. don't do randomly every day or one day, or you should not definitely do it.
Mm-hmm.
But at the time that I really wanted to do it, I actually managed. There was this one time just a few months ago after there was a bit of dieting to get in shape for the competition in Barcelona at the Arnold Classics. My one arm pull up is just like my planche, is very dependent on the time of the year.
Mm-hmm.
If I have like 5-6 kilos more in winter, is a bit more difficult to get there, but usually in summer it gets a bit easier. I think this is going to be one of the talking points later on as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, after a full season of weighted, and we basically kept training one arm pull up specific work. For the first, I think, 2 to 3 months. And then in the last second part of the preparation, so the one closer to the competition, I basically nullified that plan. Yeah. You know, we did not work on that.
Cut it all out.
It was, yeah. you know, specificity is key. So yeah. we just worked intensively on the 4 lifts.
Yeah.
But one day I was talking to one guy in the gym and, you know, kids come and is like, oh, yeah, can you do a one-arm pull-up? And I was like, you know what? I haven't yeah. tried in like a very long time. Just... hold that.
Mm-hmm.
And I could do 3. Mm-hmm. So I repped out 3, not gonna lie, not very clean one-arm pull-ups, but I could.
Mm-hmm.
And this comes exactly to, you know, to confirm what you guys said before. Yeah. So if you yeah. do some weighted work that is complementary to the skill, I think it's really, really...
Yeah. What people need to understand here is something, when you do weighted and you come back to the skills, it's not that the skill is completely lost or something.
No,
in the beginning, of course, it won't look as perfect as it may have been before, especially when you really cut it out before, yeah. what we did in preparation for this competition. But that's just getting back into a skill, and that's pretty normal. Yeah, you will even have that when you didn't squat for like 2 or 3 months and you come back, it won't be the best squat in the first session. That's completely normal.
Yeah.
But once you're into it for like 4 weeks again, then you probably have the same ability to do the skills as you had before. And maybe it depends a little bit on how you did the programming and all that stuff, but it can be that you are even stronger because the base you have built up in that time is even better now. And that's a very important point. People tend to forget
yeah.
a lot of times, as the bigger your glass is, the better you can fill it up with water. And that's a very important thing.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And I think exactly like talking about one-arm pull-up is a very, very easy example planche is a bit harder because it's harder to generally maintain it as a movement because it's more complex.
But even though, if you do enough
handstand push-ups, especially, or 90-degree handstand push-ups, which are amazing for planche.
But without even going that far, yeah. I mean, I completely agree with you, yeah. and I'm one of those who does the 90 degrees because it's one of my favorite skills.
Mm-hmm.
But pseudo-planche push-ups, very low taxation on the ligaments, because in the end, it's not a fully straight arm exercise. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, you constantly remind your body, your muscle memory, that, you know, that's there.
Yeah.
So you constantly work on the same body parts and the same muscles and the same tendons without taxing them a lot. Same from front lever. Front lever pulls, tuck front lever pulls. Just, you know, it's in the end, it's a quite a heavy row.
Yeah.
If you ask me.
Yeah, exactly. That's how I planned your program. That was exactly it. Yeah, being there and thinking about, okay, how can we use these skills that we have to complement the weighted stuff we have to do in competition. So what we did was basically easily putting in stuff like that to complement the weighted stuff. So there is definitely something that you can use it to complement each other.
Yeah.
And that's very important to understand, I think.
I mean, a front lever pull-up executed well is just a body weight row at the end. So, and
very true.
Yeah.
It is.
You can use an advanced tuck if you can do it full and like have high rep numbers too. Work well on it. Keep your strength. I know I learned a lot of skills for 2 years. I mostly worked on skills. So I had to set my priorities. For example, I stopped training legs and I stopped training weighted. For the most part, I just had some light weighted stuff at once a week, for example, and really just focused on skills, got much better over time, learned a lot of new skills. And at the end of this cycle, let's say, I started going towards weighted again a bit more and more. And the moment I started going towards weighted, I started putting some skills away, some especially very specific movements like Iron Cross or Hephaesto, which are just there to hurt you for the most part.
I was about to say that's some next level.
Those, like, you can't really treat Hephaesto as a curl at the end of a workout. I tried, but
fucking hell.
But yeah, it's
my biceps tendon.
It's very, like, and when you start doing weighted stuff, and especially now where I train weighted 3 times a week and squat 2 times a week.
Yeah, it's good that you're taking more time with me now.
Yeah, exactly.
Nick is patting Dennis on the back.
Yeah, exactly. It's his influence. No.
I influenced him to do also squats.
Yeah, so.
There you go.
Yeah, my skill work now is, like, reduced to a minimum. I do some full planche leans, just like to lift the full planche without holding it. I do a lot of loop end work since I like it, because the thing is, you can maintain very well, like the shoulder strength, you can maintain it very, very well with weighted, especially exactly when you do a lot of handstand push-ups.
Mm-hmm.
The hip is often the problem in the planche. It always is the problem. And
very not underrated, but it's something that people know less about, actually,
exactly.
If you're not from Italia,
if you're not
in Italy, everyone knows how to planche and how you should activate your hip, but a planche is not a planche if you're like your lower back sacs in and you don't have the right contraction in the glutes and legs, and that you need to work specific, like you need a lot of specific work for it. And band work is very, very good, for example, to maintain that. And of course, it won't be as good. And I notice that I have a harder time with my hips, especially now. But it's the price you pay. And in case, like, I can just upper a bit the work if I see everything works well and my performance is where it should be and it's all right. And my weighted one-arm pull-ups, I do 2 sets now, once a week. with 6 kilograms to maintain, and it works. Like, they work every time, and like, if they feel great, especially if I last month I had deadlifts the day before, and after deadlifts the one-arm pull-ups were a nightmare. So that's one of the things that you have to start to look at too. How taxating some movements are. Like,
after deadlifts, everything is a nightmare.
After deadlifts, everything is a nightmare. Yeah. I couldn't agree more. I felt like pull-ups and chin-ups worked, but one on pull-up, it was just like,
it just didn't work.
Like, body weight one on pull-ups were like kind of difficult, and that's, yeah.
But sometimes that's also a weapon you can use, as sometimes it's good to be pre-fatigued for something.
Mm-hmm.
It depends on how your level is on it.
Yeah.
Definitely. If you're good at it, it's a very good way to make it feel hard for you, but it isn't, as for you, maybe a one-arm pull-up is not a big thing,
mm-hmm.
but doing it after deadlifts, body weight one-arm pull-up is a thing.
Yeah.
So sometimes that's even a good thing to improve on stuff like that, to just do it pre-fatigued.
Yeah.
And that's something we shouldn't underestimate here. And another thing I would love to talk about, because a lot of people asked us when we came here now, choosing the right days and the right selection for when to do which movement. So that's something most people, I think, they just lack in it.
Mm-hmm.
That's a reason why you need a coach, because you just not can't do it. So what would be the best thing in your opinion to just schedule up a program? Would you go for this classic bent arm days or straight arm days, or how would you structure stuff like that?
So okay, first of all, it really depends on the client. I think that's the most important thing. It is, and how often, like, can he train? How often has he generally trained? Like, how long has he trained for? Because, like, some people work better, like, with higher frequency training or lower frequency training. If you have more training days, it's easier to split it up, generally, than less. Unless you have to get very exotic with mixing exercises, let's say, like if you would see my plan right now, or the day I just did, it's very, very special.
Same here.
I think I start off with squats and I go to one arm pull ups. Then I have alternating weighted dips, weighted chin ups, and then I have leg extension and leg curl. Like that's
like a full body.
Yeah, that's like a
pull, yeah, push, yeah, mix, but, with skills, yeah, and weight.
Yeah. But it works very well because
it's tailored to you.
Yeah, exactly. And the squats, they don't fatigue me. Like the squats I do today, like, it's high volume.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel tired after them, and I can do all the other
stuff.
That's
just not enough weight.
That's not just,
I was waiting for this.
But you can't tell me there are squats which are not tired of you.
Yeah. They need to not be too hard, because otherwise I wouldn't be able to do other 10
fair
sets.
Enough.
And that's the thing. If I would go all out on the squats, of course I won't be able to do anything. But I prefer doing squats twice, and the second time it's only legs, like I have only leg day where my squats are way harder, and I have deadlifts too on that day generally. And coming back to your question, how would I split it up? So let's say somebody trains on 4 days, or let's say with legs or without legs.
I would prefer to do it with legs, as I think that's something very important. Alessio, did you notice that you are not able to do any skills anymore because you're training legs now? I mean,
not to be.
What's your one rep max in back squats right now?
in back squat, well, I mean, we haven't tested since a couple of, like, 1 month or so, but 1 month ago in Barcelona, I did a 161 rep max, went for the 170, did not go as well, but I think I would say that I would be around 165 right now.
All right.
Just out of my own experience. I did not lose pretty much anything. So my planche is still there, my straddle planche, not by Italian standards. I'm pretty sure Dennis would have a lot to say about my hips, but you know, my planche is still there.
And we have to actually, say for that, he's not training the planche.
I am mostly not training the planche. We're just doing maintaining. I'm trying to do some maintaining exercises, you know, a couple of times a week. As I said before, pseudo planche push-ups. I do a lot of handstand and hands. I mean, handstand is basically my warm-up. I do it to warm up a couple of 4 to 5 sets of 20 seconds, 25 seconds, and a few drills. What I do use as a skill throughout my workouts, which is basically a key part of my workout, is handstand push-ups, freestanding handstand push-ups, and 90 degrees. We're training, training a very specific goal to go for the 10 reps of handstand freestanding 90 degrees push-ups.
So, little Bissim, if you ever hear this, he's coming for you.
Little Bissim. Watch your back. But yeah, so, you know, basically it's a bit of everything sparse throughout the workout, not particularly taxing my body in any way. We don't go for maximum repping out. It just blends in the daily work, in the daily grind. But hey, to answer your question, no, I mean, pretty much I haven't lost anything. So my planche is still there, push-ups, handstands, pretty much still there. One arm pull-up. It's probably the thing that I still have, but I don't rep out 2 or 3. I could do 1 per arm.
But that's 4. I mean, yeah, the thing is, I think it's very weight dependent, and maybe that will be the next topic. So
We will talk about that. Yeah. But coming back to this, how to structure stuff like
that. So I'll just go with one example of one of my clients. He has one arm pull up, planche, front lever, squats, pull-ups, and dips in it. Right. So I'm very, very...
do you know him?
Jan. Okay. So, Jan's, and this was the plan before... Hi, Jan. before his peaking for a competition he has now. So after this plan, it's already a bit more specific on the pull and dip. And afterwards, it went completely to like pull, dip, squat, and bench. So generally, of course, if you peak for a weighted competition, you have to take the skills work out completely at some point, let's say maybe the last 2 weeks before you can still keep it kind of in, but the workouts start getting so long and the rest time so long, you just don't have time and you don't want to do like your two holds for advanced planche or front lever. It's not it's not very useful. So he has, for example, on the first day, one arm pull-up work, advanced duck planche work, front lever work, and then he has pull-up alternating with dips. And then he has some technique work for handstand push-ups, so just negatives, even though he can do them free, because like he wouldn't be able at this point in the workout to do them free, but he can still... have some quality volume, and at the end he has something for the rotator cuffs, so some rotator cuff work just to stay healthy. And then he has rest on the second day, so I took a 4-day plan. I can like go with a more complex like plan that I, for example, had last month that goes on 6 of 8 days.
Never heard of an 8 days plan.
It's something special.
I actually wrote sometimes something for 14 days. It's possible.
Jesus,
it's
possible. Lord.
So second day, he has some very light muscle up work just to get into the movement again. Some squats and then pull-ups, bench press, and free handstand push-ups and leg curl. Then again, a day of rest. And the 5th day, muscle up, pull up, dip, planche work, and front lever work. And on the 6th day, which is handstand push-ups, squats, RDLs, dragon flag, and then some rotator cuff work. All right. That's one example. of a plan where you can mix everything and it goes together very well. It's always push and pull mixed, so you can really recover from it. And you have a lot of skills while doing pull-ups and dips and without really having a performance, losing performance on dips. And after this plan and the peaking that came afterwards, like even though we didn't work a lot on pull-ups and dips, he broke tons of PRs. Like every PR he had, he broke like for over 12 kilograms or so on the dip.
Wow,
which is
pretty cool.
Yeah. And he has worked mostly on skills. So that's something I noticed too. If you work on skills very hard, and like I worked a lot of one-arm pull-ups, my weighted pull-up was stronger before I actually worked for it more before I started working. Like even though I haven't done a weighted pull-up in almost a year, or never went over 80% of my RM, I had a higher 1RM just by doing a lot of one-arm pull-ups.
Yeah, I see that a lot of people too.
Mm-hmm.
It works until a certain level.
Mm-hmm.
So if you have like people who are doing really high numbers, you will reach a point where you don't complement that much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
But that's completely normal. Once you reach a point where you don't really profit from weighted pull-ups for your front lever or something.
Mm-hmm.
But that's the point where you're that deep into one thing that you probably don't do that stuff anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
That's it. Yeah. So,
I mean, for the guy who asked about, for the people who asked about bent arm strength and straight arm strength, I mean, in the end, if you ask me, that's just another way of splitting a plan, right? You can have lower body, upper body. You can have push or pull. Yeah. You can have full body push, full body pull. I mean, this is bent arm strength and straight arm strength is something very, very specific when it comes to skills.
Yeah, I think exactly that's what I think too. Like, you can talk about straight arm and bent arm skills when you do purely skills
pure
work.
Skills, exactly.
Because other, like everything that's weighted, it's bent arm work. So, like,
essentially.
You can have a day where you do like your holds in your planches, for example, and your holds in your front lever. And then you can have the second day where you have your planche push-ups and your front lever pull-ups. I, for example, worked very long with a plan that was structured in that way. And at the end of the second day, I had more weighted stuff in the end, let's say, at the end of the day. And then I had one day off, and then I started with straight arm stuff.
Yeah.
Mostly, of course, it wasn't purely, but if you take like front lever and planche, it works well splitting them up in straight arm and bent arm.
In the end, we should not forget, this is not rocket science. This is just strength training. And it's not that different to program that stuff. The only thing is choosing the right progressions for your goal and hitting the right RPE with the right progressions, with the right hold times when it comes to statics. When it comes to all the bent arm strength things, of course, in the beginning, you probably, when you learn a handstand push-up, it's definitely like an RPE 10 when you do one rep, and you probably can't do second one. So, but that's pretty normal learning a skill. So what you have to have in mind is, that's the next point on the list, managing regeneration. So that's something that's very important. We had that in the beginning. So having too many goals leads to very, very big fatigue and
very poor results, if you ask me.
Actually, if you want to hunt like 10 rabbits, you probably don't get one.
So
prioritize something. And but when you have your program, make sure it's not too much. And most of the time, especially when you mix up weight and skills, it's better to do less than you thought.
I think like regarding like how to plan and mixing stuff. Like if you mix stuff, like the example I brought, it's extremely important you have somebody looking over and looking that you're doing the stuff right and the performance is not falling down. I think that's super, super important, especially if you start mixing stuff. And even if like you have set days, like you have your leg day and you use it as a rest day from the upper body, you have to be careful what you put in, because if in your leg day you put in deadlift and RDL, the next day your pull up will be shit, or probably.
Yeah, because
so it won't be as good as if you maybe put the squat and, or you put only squats in and other skills, and you put the deadlift on another day where it doesn't compromise the pulling strength of the day after. So do you like mixing more or having set days, or it's different like for every client you have generally?
Actually for me, I do different for every client.
Mm-hmm.
But most of the time I do mix stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
So for me, I don't see it from this is a skill day view, mm-hmm, and this is a strength day view,
yeah,
and this is my lower body day view, mm-hmm, or something. I just don't like that, because for me it's strength training,
yeah,
and everything in there can complement each other,
mm-hmm,
and for me it's, I look where are the weaknesses of an athlete,
mm-hmm,
how do we get rid of that,
mm-hmm,
of course where are the goals,
yeah,
so for as an example for Alessio right now, we are on a focus for weighted stuff, so for the big four lifts,
mm-hmm,
as they are in the competitions, like that's the muscle up,
mm-hmm,
the dip, the pull or chin up, you can decide, and the back squat. So all these four exercises are definitely in the plan and the focus lies on that. But we also have our work where we do some stuff for planche, front lever, and the one-arm pull-up.
Yeah. How does it look like? Okay. Like, kind of, maybe?
I looked at it and I thought, okay, how can we boost like the pull-up,
mm-hmm,
by the front lever work?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what we did. So that's the same what we did with the work for the one-arm pull-up. How can we use the work for the skill to boost the chin-up work for him?
Exactly.
So that was my plan for him.
Mm-hmm.
And from what we see right now in this block, it works pretty well. So I'm also always a big fan of having like the big six movements for the body,
mm-hmm,
like pushing overhead, pulling,
mm-hmm,
overhead, pushing horizontal and pulling horizontal.
Mm-hmm.
And also the same for the lower body, having pull and push for the lower body in.
Mm-hmm.
And that's my starting point. And when I go into programming, that these six things I always want to make sure people do it. So in this case for Alessio, he's pretty well in handstand push-ups.
I like them.
That's his overhead pushing thing. So, mm-hmm, we, for him, I don't think we have a overhead press.
I think
press
we anymore. Have a military press as well. New first time of doing it in this block, actually.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, a typical example of transfer from skills. I mean, I don't know what the standards are for a military press for the average Joe, but I mean, I started with 65 kilos times 8 reps without a problem, which is basically almost my body weight.
Yeah.
Coming from a background where basically I've been doing handstand push-ups,
mm-hmm,
for reps. So
yeah,
freestanding handstand push-ups,
yeah,
like 6 to 8 reps, 2 times a week, 3, yeah, 4 sets.
Yeah.
So that's something that complements,
mm-hmm,
each other very, very well.
And it's something I noticed too, especially if gripped pretty narrowly.
Yes.
If I grip it wider, it's a whole other story.
Completely agree.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah,
I'm a narrow gripper.
Yeah.
I have a very specific technique in my handstand push-ups. I grip narrow. I don't open my elbows. I don't flare my elbows out wide, which means
you're very, very dominant tricep pusher.
Yes.
Yeah, that's something why we use it that much. Mm-hmm. Because in this case, we have to perform the dips in the competition.
Mm-hmm.
And we are using this skill to boost his dip performance, as he's pretty well in handstand push-ups. Yeah. And to boost even the handstand push-ups a little bit more, we use the OHP.
Yeah.
And all this together even boosts the dips even more.
Yeah.
And that was where I wanted to go with this. You just have to keep in mind, okay, what are we using now to boost something? And that's very individual.
Absolutely. Yes.
You can't do that with everybody.
Yeah. Like, for example, for me, I'm 101, same as last year, I think. I'm very, very strong in handstand push-ups. I do my dips now very narrow, and they're super tricep heavy. While the overhead press, I do them wide, since I don't do many handstand push-ups now, to get more of the pure shoulder strength in, for example.
Okay.
And have, like, both in. I have the one for using mostly tricep for dips, and shoulders in the military press, so I have both groups in. But I think more in planning, I work a lot with certain muscle groups, even in skills, and set certain sets or volumes for certain muscle groups, and cover the whole body, which at the end, it is very, very similar to the you have horizontal movement, you have vertical movement, vertical pulling, pushing, horizontal pulling, pushing,
I do the same for all this. I implement all of this together and then build up the program. I also look for the perfect volume for a person, but that's always very individual from what I see.
Yeah.
So, of course, it's when you look into the science. The science always says, you have to have like 20 to 30 sets for one muscle group a week.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at different athletes, some can have much more for different muscle groups and some less. And it's very individual. And you see that over time. So the longer you work with an athlete, the better you know him and the better you can implement stuff like that. Is completely individual for him and his needs and where you want to take him.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't say there's a big answer.
I think that's one of the points in which don't often like this answer, but that's one of the points where genetics come a bit into play. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
You have people like Manuel Caruso, who is just a pulling monster. I mean, of course, he's really good at everything, but you know, probably he can sustain more pulling work without. If you give that word to me, I probably get tendonitis within 3 days.
We wrote some plans for Manuel Caruso, actually. Yeah. It was pretty fun.
I remember, it was your plan. Yeah.
You can...
Ciao, Manuel.
Ciao, Manuel. You can throw pretty much everything at him, what's pulling. With pushing, you have to be very, very careful, though, for example.
One of the things, I mean, as we say, the good things, one of the things that happens to me that I personally have to watch out a lot is my biceps tendon. It's something that whenever the moment that I do something stupid or I tend to put a little more stress on my biceps because maybe, you know, I've been doing some deadlifting, as I said before, always makes things complicated or, you know, more specific one arm pull up work and then you throw in some planches as well.
Mm-hmm.
Plus the heavy dips and the heavy pull ups, you know, for me, that's one of the things that genetically I'm a bit less advantage in.
I think we're the same build plus.
So that's one of the things where my body screams alarm the most. Right.
Yeah.
And that's something you just have to find out for the athlete. So there were people who were asking, how do you manage this fatigue? There's not a big plan for this. There's just having the athlete and seeing what he can take.
Yeah.
And that's it. And that's for every different muscle group. And that's in the end, that what makes a good coach. Not having all the science programs and which maybe doesn't even work for an individual. Yes, these things are the base.
Yeah.
But you have to adapt for every person in every single lift individual. And that's a big, big point for that. All right. We have, I think, one last thing. Mm-hmm.
That's a secret growl.
That's something. Is it better to be bulky or is it better to be skinny? I would say it depends. Yeah. So you have like very strong athlete. If you look at Matthew.
Yeah.
The guy who dips nearly 200 right now.
Hi, Matthew.
he's still able to do a dead planche.
Yeah.
At his body weight of nearly 100 kg. I think
it's around 100, yeah. Yeah. And
Did you see that in Barcelona?
When
that was impressive.
You know, the moment when everybody after the competition starts fooling around the bars and he drops in and does a dead planche just because... Yeah. And the man weighs more than 100 kilos. Yeah. So,
and that was impressive in my opinion. Okay. So
if you look at Pere, for example, he's pretty heavy too. Pere. And his front lever skills are still crazy.
The guy is another genetic monster. Pere, you bastard.
And it was at this moment when this episode
okay, so this piece of shit, that piece of shit, and all genetically gifted.
Yeah, but in the end, it depends on how strong you are. If you're completely a monster in something, you definitely can handle some more body weight. Yeah, so for you, it probably doesn't matter how much you weigh on the handstand push-ups.
No, actually, that's one of the things where really... I feel it a little bit in the beginning, but then it kind of like,
Then it doesn't matter. So for most of the people, they perform best in between like 12 and 15% of body fat.
Than, yeah.
So if you're in that range, you're probably pretty safe. When it comes to weighted stuff, it's also the same thing. It depends a little bit on the lift. The muscle up and the pull up definitely are easier if you're a little bit lighter. But the dip and the squat are definitely something that, yeah.
You can tackle by having a nice winter coat around your body.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And that's it. Yeah. So to have that well-rounded for the competition... It definitely makes sense to be in between 12 and 15%.
Again, I think if you ask me like the priorities here come again into play, right?
Yeah.
So what is your priority? Yeah. Your priority is holding a 10 seconds perfect iron cross. Okay, maybe being around 20% body fat or you know having legs like Eddie Hall is not going to help you that much, you know, but
that's it.
Again,
if you want to be someone who's able to do all of this stuff, not perfect, but being pretty good at everything, I think you're in this range, you are pretty safe usually. Yeah. But
and I still think like everyone has a weight where he can probably perform best. And that's extremely individual.
Completely agree with that.
I was around a certain weight for almost 5 or 6 years and felt very good at it. Could perform extremely well, but I wanted to try to change that up and see if I can maybe like if I was limiting myself just with the body weight. And notice now I'm 7 kilograms heavier, and everything but front lever and planche is stronger, and those will just take a longer time to adapt because like I gained the weight in 5 to 6 months, 1 kilogram a month.
Yeah, yeah.
And that for such complex movements is of course taxating, and especially starting with legs and stuff, it takes time. But when cutting down at a certain point to a weight that was higher before I started, but with more lean mass, I'm sure that I will be stronger, generally stronger.
It's a very interesting point. Yeah. Actually, I meant to ask you this because you were the guy who actually, you started, I saw you doing very, very clean reps of one-arm pull-ups with additional weight.
Yeah.
So, you know, you started with the 1 kilo, with the 2 kilos, 3 kilos, 4 kilos. I don't know how up you went at some point. But it's a very interesting, it would be a very scientific, very interesting scientific paper that I would love to read about the linearity. So now you said you have 7 kilos more, right? Then would you still be able to do the same reps with, let's say, the same amount of kilos extra added?
It was.
That's a very good point.
So, it was like that when the moment I was starting to train weighted one arm pull ups very specifically at around 62 kilograms, I think. Started off with 2.5s with higher volumes and then went like in a few intensity, like I had three blocks, so volume, and then it started going towards intensity. At the end of intensity I had singles, and I managed to pull 10 kilograms barely over the bar, left and right. Went into another cycle of 3 months, kept progressing and putting on weight. And the moment I tried the 10 kilo, so my goal for this year was 12 kilogram one arm pull up.
Yeah.
The moment I reached the singles again at the end of the 3 months, I weighed almost 4 kilograms more than the 3 months before, or 3 kilograms more kind of. And they actually went better. So yeah, if you train it very well and you keep progressing and the weight gain is pretty stable, then it depends a lot on the day, I have to say, something like that. But I think it's very, very good. Of course, if like you have bigger jumps, that's something I noticed the week after, like you sometimes are stable on that weight for a whole week. Absolutely. And then you have this ginormous jump of like 1 or 2 kilograms. Like I felt it. I had some days where I couldn't, like, it was very, very hard for me. And now I'm other like 4 kilograms heavier. I do them with 6 kilograms just to maintain.
Yeah.
And they work very, very well. But because I do a lot of pulling work and nearby. And I think that's the key. I pull up, like I have heavy chin-ups 3 times a week.
Yeah.
And that is what makes the difference. And if that is not too much and it doesn't make me tired, it will keep, like, maintain a one-arm pull-up or maybe even make it stronger. Like, relatively stronger for sure, because I'm heavier now. So if I go down with weight, I will probably be able to pull more.
Mm-hmm.
Just because more lean mass is there. So more muscle.
And that's the big point.
Yeah. And that's
people,
the thing.
People are always scared to put on weight, because they're not gonna be weak and stuff like that. You're not going to be weak. Sometimes you just have to put on some weight, because that's the time when you also grow muscle mass. And if there's more muscle mass, usually you get stronger. And that's a big point people tend to forget. The more muscle mass, the stronger you get.
Especially if you train smart and have some strength cycles in it, where you really
increase your muscle adaptation.
Exactly. You increase muscle adaptation and you understand how to use your whole muscle, like the whole muscle fiber, let's say, the whole mass.
Yeah,
great.
That was like,
so I think that's in the end the big answer.
Yeah.
Don't be scared.
I feel like we've been trying to reconcile quantum physics and the theory of gravity, you know, like the answer that everybody's looking for. Yeah. But I think we have it.
It. Grow some muscle mass.
Grow some muscle mass, get bigger, and then you can shred anyway later.
Shred, and I'm sure when I'm shredded, I'm going to get my one arm, like my front lever pull-ups back again like they were 2 years ago. You have to be patient. You can't do everything at once.
Yeah.
Like,
think a little bit bigger.
Yeah. Think bigger.
Think of 10 years. Yeah. Where can you be in 10 years?
I think that's the problem. Huh? A lot of people are in for the short term, but you know, you have to be in for the long term. Think big. Mm. Think longer distances. Yeah. Think longer horizon, and you're going to get what you want, even more.
Either one who's 40 years old doing a full planche, doing like front lever pulls, squatting 300, pulling like 100, you know, with 40. That's the goal.
Yes.
Having gray hairs, doing all that.
Not now.
Stay tuned.
And you have to put some skills aside. Don't be scared. I've done that 1,000 times. They don't run away. It takes some time. You start with loop bands again.
Completely true.
It works.
It requires a lot of maturity.
Yeah, exactly.
It requires a lot of trust in yourself, trust in your process, and trust in your coach if you have one. And
don't be the kid.
Yeah.
Don't be that one.
I remember thinking in days before, And then I started thinking in weeks and in months, and now I think in years.
Yeah,
and,
same here.
And then you just get patient and you're just like, yeah, okay, I can't do that right now, but yeah. I will be able to again. Like, and I'm stronger now, I know that.
I know for all my athletes, they will reach their goals. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah. Exactly.
Then we will get there. So, and if you want to get there and you want to get into real training and stop bullshitting around for the skills, hit up Dennis on Instagram.
Dennis Kalis, or the team page I have with Leo, Stenix _.
All right. And if you want to go into the weighted game, hit me up. Nick Tibu or Barbell Coaching. And if you want to follow a real monster in both, check out Alessio the Wild.
The Wild.